This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, something we don't do very often. We always record the segment, record the show every day, but we're going to go live today because there's so many important things to do. And I confess, it takes me longer to pull a clip from the show and post it. So if I go live, it's already posted on social media when I do the video clips. So this is good. And we haven't done this in quite some time. So we've got Marcos here, folks, live direct from his home with the piano in the background. Beautiful. The founder of DailyCoast.com, one of our favorite sites and the largest online progressive community, the founder of Civics with a Q and the host of his own podcast, the ever popular The Brief. Buddy, how are you? How you feel? We've been talking about vibes all year. What about these?
It's going so good.
I have
everything is suddenly coming up roses. What happened?
Y'all didn't hear the off mic discussion, but he was just telling me where to find the party list. Everybody's trying to get to Chicago who wasn't going at first. Mm-hmm. I get there tomorrow. So yeah, it's euphoric. And James Carville's trying to pour cold water on all of us, but we're not going to.
Oh, I missed it. Maybe I don't want to hear it, but what's he saying?
He's saying that this euphoria is too feel good. We need to be realistic and we need to work hard. And
who's not working hard, Mark? She's signing up hundreds of thousands of volunteers. People are excited to get out there. So this is, want to hear one of my pet peeves? Maybe one of my biggest pet peeves in politics is when people say, we got to work like we're 10 points down. You heard us, right? We got to work like we're... just 10 points down and everybody hated it. They were they wanted to kill themselves.
Right.
Nobody wanted to work. Nobody likes to be around losers. You know what they like? Being around winners. Now that we're up in the polls, we got the momentum. People are excited. Now people are excited. Now you can say protect the lead. That's different. We got to protect the lead. Okay.
Yeah.
We ain't winning by sitting back and feeling good about ourselves. But I don't know about you, Mark. I'm not seeing people be complacent right now.
I see
people working their butts off in a way that they were not doing so for Joe Biden. Because nobody likes to be losing.
And maybe we just need to believe what people say. People said they were not excited. They were not excited about either candidates, two old dudes. Mm-hmm. And everybody heard that, but people didn't really take it seriously. Now, is that maybe they were actually right. Because if you look at it, Trump is not gaining any momentum. You even got Nikki Haley going on Fox saying he's got to cut this out and get serious. He can't even focus. He was supposed to give an economic speech yesterday, and he spent the whole time talking about Kamala's laugh.
He could not eat. He lasted about, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
And then he even said, they told me to talk about the economy. They told me that's important, but I don't want to talk about that. And then he starts going off on his usual rambly stuff. Yeah.
It may just be a real thing. And people were clamoring for something to feel good about, something to feel excited about. And there was just no one else but her. I don't know that this would have happened with the same. And maybe if Gretchen was solo, I don't know. Like I said, nobody listened to me. I said, you put Kamala and Gretchen together and then everybody's heads will probably explode and we'd be even happy. But Tim is great. Walls is a real dude. The Trump campaign is angry that his theme song is I Grew Up in a Small Town. They are furious because somebody put it best. They said that Tim Walz is authentically what J.D. Vance is pretending to be.
That's so good. Exactly. 100%. Yes.
But look, you and I always try to keep it real. We like to do, we do mad thing, folks. As you all know, we're a little wonky and nerdy. Talk to me about the math you're looking at, and I've got some surprise math for you.
All right. So my operating theory, and I will go to the grave with this theory, is that Joe Biden would have won. A lot of what we're seeing now with Donald Trump, that's sort of exposing him as being unfit for office and losing a lot of support on his side of things. A lot of right wingers people like Joe Rogan, they're like, we're off this train.
But
would have happened. But my operating theory was that if Biden was within 2 to 3 points in the polls, that he was going to win. And the reason is, and we've seen this all around the world, we saw it in India, in Poland, in France, where the right wing is up in the polls but voters are terrified of it and turn out in much larger numbers to vote against fascism. I think that would have happened, right? It would have been a lot harder. It would have been a slog. We all know how tough getting through the media. The media cannot stop talking about Joe Biden's age. Same media that's ignoring Donald Trump slurring his words in his interview with Elon Musk and his inability to hold a thought and his general incoherence and how he's good friends with a fictional character, fictional mass murdering cannibal. That would have been a slog. No doubt about it. I think in the end, people's panic over fascism would have won over. The beauty of what's happening now with Kamala Harris is that people's panic over creeping fascism is still there. That's not going away. Donald Trump is still an existential threat to our democracy. But people are into Kamala Harris. She's running an absolutely brilliant campaign. The press is upset that she won't talk to them. Good. She shouldn't talk to them. Press is absolutely the DC Beltway political press has completely failed. They stolen hacked emails from the Trump campaign and they won't run them because suddenly they have ethics that did not exist when Hillary Clinton's emails were hacked. And they're saying there's nothing newsworthy. They were leaking John Podesta's freaking recipes that he was sending his friends. Talk to us about what's news and relevant to the news. Politico had a live blog of all the Podesta Hillary email leaks. So they obviously operate under a completely different. The fact that they ignored Donald Trump's slurred words and incoherence during the Musk interview, there are two standards. We get that. There's no reason for Harris to talk to them. They will not serve her campaign. And if she talks to them, great. It's on her terms with her strategy, if it suits her. Because one, people don't want to talk about policy. She'll do a policy speech on Friday. Nobody votes on policy, right? We all vote on values. There's not a single policy statement that Kamala Harris or Donald Trump can make that will switch a vote. There's not one. We all know what they stand for. That's what really matters, what they stand for, what they believe in, what drives them, what motivates them, number one. And number two, if they don't ask about irrelevant policy, which they probably wouldn't, it's all like superficial BS, and they're trying to get a controversial quote to drive clicks. That is the media. Right. They're not there anymore to report the news. They're there to drive traffic to their news publications. And there's no reason for Kamala Harris to indulge in that. It's not her job to help them drive traffic to their site. And why give anybody extra ammunition that can be twisted and distorted to use against her when she can already talk directly to the American people? This notion that the press is somehow a sacrosanct vehicle to inform them, that ship sailed, Mark. We're talking to the American, she doesn't need us to talk to Kamala Harris, to interview her, to understand what she's about. We can talk about it. We know she says she has video and speeches and social media, and she's getting her message out. So it's an interesting environment. She is winning. She is up in enough states right now. I think I last saw that she's at 281 electoral votes, and she's at 270 with about a 2 to 3 point cushion right now. The tipping point state is Wisconsin or Michigan. I'd have to look at this morning's numbers. She's winning both states by 3 points in the aggregate of the polling. Some of the individual polling looks even better. Some of the individual polling, she's even winning North Carolina. I'm not quite ready to say that she's ahead of North Carolina, but she is definitely within a point of North Carolina. Florida, there's been polling that shows her behind 2 to 3 points, two polls in a row. Not sure I believe that yet, but if it's true, we'd be seeing something serious, major happening. And also it gives us a real chance at winning that Senate seat, which is critically important. And I didn't think it was on the table, to be frank, and it may actually be on the table. And this is all before the Democratic convention, which is next week. Democratic conventions usually give 2 to 3 point boost to campaigns.
Get a bump.
Yeah. That bump doesn't always last. Donald Trump didn't get any bump. And so things are different this year, but 2 to 3 points for Harris is not unreasonable, particularly since it's going to be a fun convention. It's going to be a week long party in celebration of Harris Waltz and the Democratic Party. And it is going to I think it's going to really lift spirits up in America in a way that the Republican convention, which is doom and gloom and darkness. And that contrast is going to be huge. And then you got the debate. And I think I was confident with the last debate, so knock on wood, but Kamala, Trump, that contrast is going to be
just literally, if she just stands there and stares with him, she wins. Because he is going to melt down. First of all, the man cannot decide whether he hates her or whether he's in love with her. He said to Elon Musk, she's terrible. Then the very next sentence, but she looks like a movie star. She looks as beautiful as Melania.
Yes.
Did he reveal who thinks about Camilla? Who thinks about Camilla? Why are you thinking about Camilla? The Prince Charles's wife. She's not unlike Camilla. Like, why is that top of mind for you? What are you talking? So he cannot literally. And that's that. I'm gonna be honest with you. That's that white male patriarchy. Someone I can't stand, yet I'm still attracted to. Mm. That's why I look the way I look. Hello? That's what the master did. Mm. And his slaves. Yet he was still attracted to our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers.
Yeah.
So he just revealed some of his own pathology. Then Tim keeps hitting it. A lot of folk don't brag about working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, and who can't relate to that? Who in the electorate cannot relate to having to been some type of service worker?
That was my first job, Mark.
Yeah. That's what people did.
McDonald's.
Who can't relate to it? Donald Trump has never, ever done anything of service-oriented work for anybody. When Aretha Franklin died, he objectified her and said, yeah, she worked for me and some show. He hired her. Yeah. The queen of soul, the goddess, the queen herself. Yeah, she worked for me. That's how he sees all of us. So, yeah, at the debate, he's probably going to be distracted. And I guess she does that to people anyways. We've discussed Barack Obama saw her and had to apologize for commenting on how attractive she is. Now Trump is having the same problem. So what's he going to do in a debate? Plus, she can literally make the case of his criminality as a prosecutor in ways that the rest of us couldn't.
Oh, so good.
He's a fraudster. He's a rapist. He's a criminal. I wouldn't want any part of that. But back to the media point. Marcos, it's really just one medium that everybody's jumping on the bandwagon with. It's the New York Times, isn't it? It's really just them that are pushing this because they did it with Biden. So remember, folks, they wanted Biden out because he would not do an interview with them. Let's be clear about that. And they have their tentacles and everything. And they say to these other candidates, if he doesn't cover us and you don't get him to drop out, we won't cover you either. The New York Times, unfortunately, is the paper of record still in this country, slightly above the Washington Post. It's always been the case. It's probably never going to change. The Washington Post competed with the New York Times during Watergate. That was the only time the Washington Post, to some extent, supplanted the New York Times as number one, because the New York Times wasn't in Washington to cover Watergate. But to me, it just seems like that's really the main culprit. If the New York Times wouldn't push in this, I don't know how many other media would be tripping or would even have the power or the wherewithal to make a big deal out of her not giving interviews.
Yeah, they're absolutely one of the main catalysts of that. There's a lot of other journalists that jumped on and tried to make the same case. But what's really amazing is the number of journalism professors like Jeff Jarvis on Twitter who have basically told these reporters to like pound sand that they have not earned, that they have betray the trust. And what's amazing is that you look at the hacked emails, right, in the Trump campaign. The media, they won't explain why they will not run it, because then they would have to differentiate how that was different from Hillary Clinton. And then they would have to somehow apologize, explain. Like, they don't want to even apologize for their bias, unbalanced coverage. And so they're just ignoring it. And so Jeff Jarvis, you can't even come to terms with how you've screwed up. People are generally pissed. There's not a lot of popular support for getting Harris to do the interview. I know some Republicans, conservatives have jumped on thinking that they have an issue. Nobody takes them seriously when it comes to dealing with the media. It's amazing how isolated these people are. And I think it gives Kamala real space, unless it suits her interests in the interest of the campaign, because she's got one job, Mark. Her job is to win the election.
That's right.
That's it. Then she's got a job to be president. But right now, she's got one job. And if the New York Times isn't part of that, then She doesn't have to. And I think the New York Times is walking on dangerous territory, right? Because they think they got this power and they think they can make these threats. But right now, their bulk of their readership, they're like Elon Musk, right? The bulk of their readership, their subscribers are liberals, just like Elon Musk. And Elon Musk has screwed Tesla by being who he has become. He has literally shot himself in the face by alienating his core supporters. And I think the New York Times has that danger just as well, that if they go after Harris in any real way, I think the blowback financially would be absolutely huge. And I don't think they can go there. I think she's insulated in a way that people weren't going to rally to Joe Biden's defense. They're going to rally to Harris, and people are protective of her. We're seeing this all across the board. And yeah, and to the debate point, I was confident about the Biden-Trump debate, but I did say one thing, Mark. I said, as long as Biden does not drool on himself, he'll do fine. And he went and drooled on himself. So I will say the same thing about Harris. As long as she doesn't drool on herself.
Bless his heart. I hate to put my man down because he's a good man.
He is.
He's been worse.
A great president.
He did worse than drool. If he had been articulate on every question and still was drooling, I would have taken that. Some folks drool, but they still get it out. If he had drooled and got it out, I think we'd be good. And the man, bless his heart. Let me tell you why Joe Biden, in this respect, and I know we have other issues with him, to be clear, but Biden could have gone along with the forces in the party who did not want to pick Kamala. They wanted to start over from scratch.
We'd still be arguing, Mark, right now. We would still be arguing. Our party would be divided because the convention hasn't happened yet.
Because y'all, guess what? Historically, the party has a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to eat ourselves up. We have a tendency to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. So what he did was more than people realize, maybe more than they realize now, but we'll go down in history. He said, okay, y'all want me to drop out. And your fellow resident, kind of, in the Bay Area, Nancy, she led it. She was hard on the man. I've been around. I said, Nancy, why don't be that hard on the dude? That's because you're not young. People ain't trying to.
Yeah, she's still there.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, what I've learned is that older people are hardest on older people. There's a lot of old people on old people crime out here in the streets. And they eat each other up. Because they know, they feel like, I'm old and I can't do it, so he can't do it. Every older person I talked to, close to Joe Biden's age, was calling me saying, yeah, he need to quit. He need to quit. I said, but you still doing stuff. No, I know. I can't do the things I used to do, so he shouldn't do it. But they knifed him hard. And yet he double-crossed him. He said, okay. And then the minute he double-crossed him, he posts Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't. And then, folks, and we'll be at the DNC all next week broadcast. We'll be talking to some people, be willing to go on the record. There was an overnight mobilization to get delegates pledged to her just like that. And it happened. So that happened on a Sunday. By Monday, she already had at least half the delegates. It was a wrap. And everybody who was trying to do other things just got shut down. So God bless Joe Biden for that. But I don't want to, you went over it. I want to drill down a little bit deeper. You say between 270 and, did I hear correctly, 281 electoral votes?
280. Right now, she's ahead in the 538 aggregate of the polling. She's ahead in 281 electoral votes. Tied in Georgia. Right now, they are tied. She could be close to 300 already.
Yeah, yeah. So the demographic we always talk about, which will really be the decider, suburban, college-educated white women. That's got to be looking better. It was looking bad before.
Everything is, even the demographics that don't look good for us are looking better, which are white men. Even that, still losing it by a lot, but Harris is up 10 points over where Biden was in some of the key polling. She's making ground. Now, will it stay that way on election day? It's a different story. But I suspect that it's not so much that she is winning some of these people over. I suspect that she's mobilizing people that had tuned out, but are natural allies.
Right.
And they're more just, And so her numbers up among Black voters, among Latina voters, women, single women, like all of those she has dramatically boosted where Biden was, which is why she is basically, I think on average, it's about a 6-point swing in the overall polls from where Biden was down about 3 points, 2 to 3 points in a lot of these battleground states. Now, Harris is up around 2 to 3 points in these battleground states. In Arizona, in Georgia, are pretty much they're the most close states right now. But we don't need them. Like, she's already won. If she wins Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Nebraska, the one electoral, the Omaha, Nebraska seat, that's 270 right there. She doesn't need Georgia. She doesn't need Arizona. She doesn't need anything else. So there's actually, I really like where she is, assuming that the polling is correct. And Mark, I will say, everybody says Trump did better in the polling in 2020 and 2016. He did. Republicans have done worse on polling ever since. And Trump underperformed his polling in the primary. I think it's going to be reversed. I think she's going to do better than the polling, because the polling is not a science, it's an art. Because to really be able to guess what that number is, you have to guess what the electorate is. And there's no way to know. That's why 2016 and 2020 were off, because more rural white people that did not vote in the past turned out to vote. And pollsters had no idea these people even existed, to be honest. Now the question is, who is going to turn out in this year? And that's how you model the electorate, which then how many white people are going to vote? How many black people? How many Latinos? How many women, right? That's how you get to this top line. So you're guessing. Polling is guessing, which is why the numbers are different. It's why you have a polling error built into the model. And I suspect, and we'll talk about it all the way to the end, and we'll know if I'm right or wrong. I suspect Harris is going to do better than the polling is, because right now we're seeing activation and mobilization of people that are not part of the modeled electorate. And I have a polling firm as well, Mark. So this is something that we're struggling as well, is how to model that electorate. And it's going to be, I suspect that, again, you're going to see more underrepresented voters turn out and vote for Harris, because she is now a phenomenon. She is Taylor Swift for politics.
Yeah.
And it just completely changes what that electorate is going to look like in ways that we really don't quite understand or can even guess at this point. So I think that's where we're going. I think it's only going to accelerate in the months ahead. You get the sense that Trump and JD are in a death spiral. Like, they can't do anything right. Everything they do is weird and creepy and tired and just like, it's to the point where, like I said earlier, Trump is actually losing his influencer backers. Richard Spencer, right? The white supremacist Nazi already. Yeah, no, Harris is going to win. I'm tapping out. You have Joe Rogan and the right wing, they freak out and they beat up Kyle Rittenhouse, right? You have these pretty big names in the right wing sphere who are just basically saying either they're tapping out or they're voting for RFK, or they're just saying Trump's going to lose.
Right.
It creates that. So we were on that side. Remember, Mark, where I was like, guys, we can win. And the alley, the Democrats saying, nah, we're going to lose. Biden's going to lose. Biden can't win. Biden can't. And it was self-defeating and it was wrong.
Yeah.
And now they're suffering that same dynamic. And it's still self-defeating. And it's wrong because Trump can still win. I mean, Carville is right. If everybody sat home and did nothing, Trump's going to win. I just don't think we're going to do that because people are excited and motivated. But it's interesting seeing that sort of self-defeating, tapping out, dejection on the right. And I love it. And there's nothing Trump can do because he can't go up there and rally his base. Like, what? You've seen his rallies, and if anybody listening to this haven't seen a rally, like, just watch one, because you're going to see how bored people are sitting there, befuddled. People leave early because he just rambles on, and it's not like he's painting a picture of an America that people can be proud and want to work hard for. He's up there, personal grievances, how everything was stolen from him, how they're out to get him, it's not the sort of thing that rallies people to want to work hard for him.
Yeah.
He's got his core. He's got that 20% that'll they'll jump in a pit of lava pit for him. He's got that. But beyond that, and Mark, you were telling me yesterday, that this evangelicals for Harris call was going on, and that even there you'd seeing defections.
Yeah. I was there. I was on it. One minister came on early. And said he's pro-life all the way. He believes in birth, the baby of conception. But that he sees America as a little baby. And the only way to save the life of this baby called America is to vote for Kamala Harris. And everybody looked at me like, you gonna say something? And I was like, no, I'll take it. Whatever we whatever. I said, amen, brother. Amen.
Vote Republican next time. For this time.
You're right. I said, man, woo, you took the words out of my mouth. So
there's something happening, Mark.
No, and people like texting me on the call, like, you're not gonna let that go. I said, no, that if it works. Then Billy Graham's granddaughter came on and endorsed Kamala Harris. Now, this is a surprise I have for you. Let me see if I can pull this up on the screen for everybody to see. Because they shared some slides. So what I did not know before I got on the call, Evangelicals for Harris has been around for a little while. Mm-hmm. They were originally Evangelicals for Biden Harris in 2020. So this is them, not a lot. They're still around and they're expanding even more now as Evangelicals for Harris. Mm-hmm. So this is not just like other folks having calls and it's just spur of the moment. They shared their numbers from 2020, what they were able to do. Let me see if I can get this up on the screen. There we go. Now, can you see that, Marcos?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody see that? So this is what they were able to do in terms of flipping evangelicals in 2020. And then the difference in the votes Biden and Harris got in 2020. That's in two states. It may have had some others. I may not have been able to get those slides. I'll try to get those. Mm-hmm. So, folks, this is what Marcos is saying in terms of the way numbers work and how slim flipped 350,000 votes in Michigan for Joe Biden in 2020. Now, and listen, we're not, 2020 was 2020, but it ain't 2024.
Nope.
Joe Biden wasn't having crowds like she's had. In Georgia, closer result, but they flipped almost 250,000 votes there. So they shared that information last night. I was like, whoa. So we're not just having a call of emotion and emotive.
Yeah.
Y'all doing so. And he laid out their plan to organize and mobilize and to do that again. So I'm like, oh, this is, y'all not playing. So.
Yeah. When elections are that close, like every one of these is critically important. You take away one piece of this, the Black vote, the Latino vote. In Georgia, it was that close. The Desi vote, South Asian Indian vote, was 18,000 people that hadn't voted before turned out. That also was part of, like, everything becomes the margin.
Right.
And the reason I'm so optimistic right now is because all of those efforts are supercharged. They didn't go away. They had faded because everybody was like, Biden, right? But with Harris, like, it's just infused and energized. And I bet you, if they could do that in 2020, it's going to be double in 2024.
I think what it also reveals is that we, again, are still one of the few countries who still has an election cycle the last 2 or 3 years or even 1 year. And I think there's also a level of excitement because you and I talked about this. When were people really going to get engaged anyway? Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to be said for this late of an engagement, too. Because people are like, yeah, because after a while, the shelf life, I remember, we talked in 2020 about Elizabeth Warren and you and I even fantasized, the first time Marcos and I talked about all women ticket, we talked about either Warren Harris or Harris Warren in 2020. Yeah. And if everybody remembers this, and I said this to Elizabeth one day too, she agreed with me. I said, Elizabeth, you notice how by December of 2019, the media lost interest in covering you. That's literally what happened. They stopped. She didn't do anything wrong. She was on a roll. And it's like somebody in the C-suite said, you know what? We don't want to cover Elizabeth Warren anymore.
Yeah.
She had maxed by December. And then, so you expecting people, you max out in December, a year out. And then you're expecting people a whole year later in November to still have interest. Yeah. Already news. So this might be a lesson. In Britain, they don't play that. They do a couple of weeks, in and out. So hopefully this too will be a lesson. But I do want to go back before we go. So. You mentioned his base. And you're right. I noticed that at the events he has, people are checked out. But maybe that's not who he's talking to. I guess the core base is still going to be motivated by the name calling and calling her ignorant and calling her a cackling woman. But like you say, he's already got those people.
Yeah, he got them. And you need those people because other people, not in a religious sense, but they're the ones that are evangelizing to their neighbors and friends and coworkers and making sure everybody's excited. And right now you can see that in how excited people are about Harris and how they're evangelizing her to like their entire network. You're not seeing that with Trump anymore. Even the Trump, crazy Trump signs. Yeah, you'll get the house with plastered with the Trump crazy signs. Maybe there'll be a boat parade down in somewhere in Florida sooner or later. But the sort of just outward expression of support for Trump is really lacking. And I saw that just, I drove my kid down to move them down to LA. And you go through Trump country. And it used to be Trump signs everywhere down that highway between San Francisco and LA. And very little. Like, it's just little. I went to Yosemite a month ago. And that, you go through a part of California that wants to secede. They're so right wing. And again, roads that used to be plastered with Trump signs, very little. You just don't see that, just that fervor, right? That like religious zeal beyond that core sort of dwindling QAnon adjacent base of his, which is why I think he has just spiraled out of control too, because that's the people left talking to him are people that say things like, that wasn't the real crowd. That was AI. Harris can't draw that many people. And he just repeats it because he's too stupid to because that's what the people around them are saying. So it just puts them further out of that mainstream, which makes them even weirder to people outside. And it's why he picked J.D. Vance. When it happened, I literally wrote that same day. I said he just picked the worst possible option of all his options because it brought him absolutely nothing. And it, oh, he's MAGA. He's service to MAGA. Nobody brings out MAGA more than Trump. Right. Like his problem wasn't MAGA. His problem is that he can't get more than 46% of the vote. That's his problem. And he did nothing. In fact, he shrunk it because J.D. Vance is so freaking weird that he's actually helping drag down that ticket even more. So I even lost my train of thought there. But Trump is not in a good place right now, either politically or psychologically, health-wise, he doesn't look so good. Like everything about him is degrading. And what was once, people were once focused on that with Biden. Wow, guy, he's just not looking that great. It's just weird. Like they're now doing that to Trump. And I think that's going to accelerate over the next months because Trump is going to get more and more desperate and more crazy. And he does not take adversity well. He's not used to adversity. And he knows that if he loses this thing, he's probably going to jail. He's got a lot more writing on the line than pride. He can just claim, oh, she stole it. The end of story.
Doesn't he have a sentencing anyway before the debate?
He does have a sentencing before the debate.
He may be at the debate with an ankle brace on.
So good. It would be so good. So yeah, the walls are closing in. And we've talked about this before. The walls are closing in. All those walls are black women, which is just makes it even more absolutely delicious. Taking them down. And there could not be better poetic justice for everything he's done in his life than to do this. And he should have stayed home, Mark. He should have just shut the F up and stayed home and quit politics. And I don't know what he had people come up and kiss his butt at Mar-a-Lago. That's what he should have done.
Look, he still would have had a TV show. Yeah. He still would have been a fake billionaire. He still had parties and just lived his lavish lifestyle. And folks would have just written him off. And that's no big deal. Because we love celebrity in this country. We don't mind that. But that ego, it got in the way. And most people got to learn, when you run for public office these days, if you have any skeletons, they come out. And that's part of the game. So, yeah, no, he should have done that. As we go, Marcos is you. If you all haven't heard before, I say it before here on the show. Marcos is an actual delegate.
I am a delegate.
So what you going to do? What do you do when you get to Chicago? What are they going to have you do?
I think as a delegate, my job is done. She's already been voted. That's like the big job, right? Is to vote for Harris. And I was on the rules committee. So we had to vote on the rule that allowed for that early vote, that online vote, which also helped and any hint of a contested convention, which was a great thing. So really, it's going to be a party, Mark. It's going to be a joyous celebration of what we as Democrats stand for, and the Waltz and Harris, and both of them are freaking fantastic choices. I am so excited for her party, and I'm so excited to be in the floor of the convention and to be with the California delegation celebrating that. And I hope to take some video and maybe do some interviews, but really I'm there just to celebrate, because it's been quite the shift this year from where we were at the beginning of the year to where we are now, and everything, even in Ukraine. Ukraine invaded. Russia's panicking.
Oh, no, no. That's the other thing. I almost forgot. We got to talk about that, man. That's a big deal, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Everything is turning up roses. Everything's turning up roses.
So tell us about that. What does that mean? And how were they able to? I almost forgot, because you've been, folks, for those of you who don't know, Marcos and Daily Coast have been doing more extended and regular coverage on the war between Russia and Ukraine in any medium. Marcos is former military as well, like Tim Walz. But talk to us about that and what that actually means now for him. I don't think anybody expected that.
No. So Russia has been slowly advancing over the last year in eastern Ukraine. And we're talking 10 kilometers, losing 50,000 men, right? It's just a slog, just human waves. It's brutal. And it looked like Ukraine was running out of men and running out of ammunition. And it's all crap. Like, I mean, it would take Russia 100 years to get to the middle of the country, but still, it was attritional warfare, and it was really demoralizing. And what really was happening is that Ukraine, it totally pulled a fast one on Russia. They had accumulated a significant strike force. And when was it? A week ago, they invaded Russia. And Russia was so confident in itself that there was no defenses. So Ukrainian troops have been romping through Russian lands. Right now, they occupy over 1,000 square kilometers of land, and they're still expanding. Russia still hasn't been able to respond in any way. And so the goal, from what anybody can tell, because Ukraine's being very tight-lipped about it, the goal is either Russia has to peel away those troops that are attacking in Ukraine to actually defend Russian territory, because Ukraine's just advancing 10 kilometers a day. It's crazy. Or Ukraine will dig in and they'll say, all right, now we'll have peace talks. We'll trade you the lands you occupy for the lands that we occupy. So either way, it actually has dramatically shifted the tenor of the war. And suddenly it doesn't look as dire as it looked a week ago. And what's really, I actually think, Mark, this is very well timed. Our election, who wins the presidency, it's going to have a huge impact in both Russia and obviously in Gaza, right? Because I believe very strongly that both Putin and Bibi are betting on a Trump presidency to bail their asses out. Now, and as long as it looked like to them, because of the world, I always say that Biden would have won, but to the world, it looked like Trump was going to win.
Mm-hmm.
As long as that was the case, there was no incentive for either Bibi or Trump or Putin to try to resolve their issues, for Russia to pull out of Ukraine, for Bibi to stop the war in Gaza, right? Now, with Harris looking as good as she does, I think it makes sense for Ukraine to occupy a huge chunk of Russia, because once Harris wins, then Putin doesn't have that lifeline anymore. And his economy starting to collapse. He's lost. Confirmed over 150,000 Russians have died in that war, although the number is expected to be about twice that number. It is absolutely devastating to Russia. And so if Harris comes in and says, we're going to give even more weapons to Ukraine, then Putin's calculation becomes a lot more difficult. And same with Bibi at that point. Harris can play hardball with Bibi. And if he doesn't, I know there's a last-ditch ceasefire effort right now that Biden is spearheading. But again, Bibi has no incentive whatsoever to help out the Democratic ticket. I would be shocked if there's a ceasefire, because Bibi wants Trump to win. But once Harris wins, it changes dramatically that equation in Ukraine and in Israel, which it gives us another reason. I know it's not why everybody's voting and why everybody's motivated, but what we decide here will have major consequences, life and death consequences around the world, including Russia and Israel.
Yeah, I would agree. And but now let me do this, though. A couple more points. Give us a refresher, because we talked about this in the past. We always have, we never know who's listening. We have new people joining. You had also broken down some time ago when this thing first kicked off as to the demographics of Putin's troops. Mm-hmm. We're talking about all these deaths and we're talking about a slog. We're talking about, let's go back to where we started, folks. Kamala worked at McDonald's. We're talking about those kind of kids that he is using, if not worse than that, doing worse than that, as cannon fodder. These are kids.
Yeah, it's worse than that, because Russia is, it's an empire, right? They are, literally, they are, when everybody talks about colonialism, they are the most colonialist of all powers. So you have a white Slavic population that's centered around Moscow and St. Petersburg in Eastern Russia. Everything else is either Asian or Muslim. And these regions are essentially stripped of their resources to enrich everybody in Moscow and St. Petersburg. And so they are in, they're desperately poor. Some like 40% of Russians don't have toilets, don't have running water. This is because they live in the dredges. And those are the people. So when you see a lot of pictures of dead Russian soldiers, they are actually, they have Asian features, or they're Muslim from southern Chechnya, places like that. And that's who's been doing most of the dying, not kids from St. Petersburg, not kids from Moscow. And one of the things that's been interesting about this Ukrainian invasion of Russia is that they've been having to rush down. The only troops they have available right now are those kids in St. Petersburg and in Moscow who have been sitting out the war because they're white and privileged, and are rushing them down to try to contain the Ukrainian advance. And those are kids of the sort of the elite, of the Russian elite, and they ain't going to be liking that. So there's a lot of dynamics here at play that really put extra pressure on Putin, just as well as he invaded Ukraine as an excuse to protect Russia. It was nonsense. Of course, Ukraine was never going to invade Russia, but now he said that we're attacking Ukraine to protect Russia, and now Ukrainian troops, foreign troops, are romping through Russian lands for the first time since World War II. It's absolutely crazy. But yeah, it's the demographics aren't just the minorities, the minority populations of Russia, but Russia is facing a deep demographic cliff where they're not having enough babies. And so the population is aging and there aren't a lot of, this is happening all throughout Europe, right? Which is the reason immigration is actually good in a lot of places. Mm. Somebody working to sustain a social net that, you know, for retired older people. So you have this demographic cliff. The population of Russia is shrinking, and then they just killed off, what, 300,000 of their young men. Probably 2-3 times that many are going back with PTSD or missing limbs or severely disabled. It's an absolute disaster in any possible measure. So the hope is, yeah, that Russia's inability to contain Ukraine's invasion, which it continues to advance a week in, plus Kamala Harris winning, may finally signal to Putin, or at least maybe people around them will say, we're done with this guy. And then there's a palace coup.
Do something different. Yeah. And also, you'd also talked to us before about officers, because early on, a lot of officers were getting picked off. But that's because officers had to be on the front line because of the lack of experience.
Yeah.
Is that still happening? Is that still?
They're all dead. So now Russia hasn't even, there's no hint of strategy anymore. So what they do to advance is they launch these 1,000-pound bombs from aircraft from behind enemy lines. They're these glide bombs. They target Ukrainian defensive lines. And these are massive bombs. And they basically obliterate everything. And then Russia sends in just a Zerg rush. Zerg is a video game, right? It's just men just run across the field because they don't even have tanks anymore. They run out of armored vehicles. So they run, sometimes they have motorcycles. So they send 20 men across the field. And if there's any Ukrainian defenders left, they all die. And Russia goes, okay, we need to drop some more of those big bombs. And we'll drop some more of those big bombs. And let's keep doing it over and over again until those 20 Russian men get to the lines, because all the Ukrainians either are dead or had to pull back.
Jesus.
And, oh, great. They just gained 50 meters. Congratulations. It cost them a couple hundred men, but they just gained 50 meters. And then they start over again for the next line. That's it. There's no strategy. They're not maneuvering. They're not. So they're not even training these Russians anymore. They literally just conscript them straight to the, because all they need to do is run across the field. That's, there's no strategy. It's tragic for those Russians, but they're also very passive in putting up with it. They don't fight back. They don't. Yeah. It's a very passive society, Russian society.
So as Margos and I have indicated, we're headed to Chicago. It will be fun. I know for many of my colleagues and comrades, you all will be marching, but as on behalf of Gaza, but as Marco said, we got to be clear that, and I know people tired of hearing the lesser of two evils, but the current demand is from the movement is for an arms embargo. That is unlikely to happen before the convention. It is unlikely to happen before November. But if we can get this done, and this is where the movement has been helpful, it has shifted the conversation on Gaza and Palestine. If we can continue to expose Netanyahu's willingness to keep the war going, if Biden says ceasefire and Harris says ceasefire, it's still not going to be one if Netanyahu doesn't want it because he wants to help Trump. And that's what people need to understand. As much as people say Biden and Harris is the administration in power and they're giving the arms, even if they take the arms away, and again, Marco, you're more about military than I do. If they were to say today, no more arms to Israel from this day forward, it's not as if Israel has not already stockpiled enough arms to continue to avoid a ceasefire for months, if not longer.
Yeah, not to mention, Israel is like the fourth largest arms manufacturer in the world. They're an arms exporter. They can keep making their own stuff. They're self-sufficient.
And that's an advantage that no Palestinian has. So folks, keep that in mind. But just to lighten things up a little bit, if you all will allow me, I want to take you back to 1968. Bedlam in the street marches. Police are fighting. Mayor Daley's police are fighting demonstrators. At that time, Dick Gregory lived in Chicago. And there was a night march. That's what changed the logistics for marches and demonstrations. They put you in assigned areas now and away from. But they were right there at the convention center in Chicago, and just, it was terrible. So they finally figured out a way to stop the marches. And they said, if you march, you're going to be locked up. None of that. So Dick Gregory gets up and speaks to the crowd of thousands. Dick Gregory lived in Chicago. He said, y'all, they can't arrest us if I invite all of you to join me on a walk to my house. And that's how they got the last march going. Dick Gregory got on the microphone and the police didn't know what to do. He said, we're not marching. Everybody's just going to follow me to my house. And if they were going, that's what they did. 100,000 people followed Dick Gregory through the streets of Chicago in a circuitous way to visit his house. So I'm just giving that little hint to my fellow organizers. If we know somebody, I know a couple people in Chicago, we need to go, y'all need to go visit somebody's house. That's the way to get around. And that's how they did it in 1968. My friend, I look forward to seeing you next week. This will be probably one of the most exciting conventions we've ever been. Still haven't heard about Kevin confirmed Taylor Swift. We haven't got confirmation on that.
There's rumors. I hope she makes it, man. She's got space in her schedule right now.
Marco's the one told us about that space you are in the schedule. Mm-hmm. There's a rumor that Taylor and Beyonce may do a concert. Let me tell y'all right now. If Taylor and Beyonce do a concert for the Melitzis Thompson ticket, we gonna win. I'm okay.
The Thompson Melitzis ticket.
Just fill in the blank. If those of you watching at home, if they do a concert for you, you're going to be the president. So let's hope for that and pray for that. Looking forward to next week, my friend. Thank you as always.
Thank you so much. Yep. Right. Safe travels. See you next week.
All right. You too.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.